So, gentlemen, God willing, in just 3 nights' time, we will be privileged to be receiving the Torah again and celebrate the holiday of Shavuos. I always said that one of the perks of being in Halifax is that Shavuos is a major holiday. In Israel, Shavuos is a little holiday. It's one day, it's like Shabbos, it comes and goes. He's accustomed to stay up all night on the night of Shavuos learning. So if you fulfill that custom, that basically means that you'll stay up all night, and at the first rays of sunrise, you'll be davening, and by 7 o'clock you'll be in bed for about half of the day, and then you'll get up at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and eat your festive luncheon / dinner, and then Yontif is over. So the whole Yontif is Shayim Ginuk in a very, very short period of time. So one of the perks of being outside of Israel is that Shavuos is a major holiday. It's actually 2 full days, and therefore there's a lot of time to delve into the holiday. But even though it's 2 full days outside of Israel, Moshe, the truth is that there's not a lot to talk about on Shavuos on the one hand. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to spend a whole month speaking about how to eat blintzes? I mean, you can't exactly find any mitzvah that's associated with Shavuos only. Shavuos is a holiday like all other holidays, but there's no specific mitzvah to this holiday. And that's what makes Shavuos unique. All the other holidays have mitzvot associated with it. Rosh Hashanah has the shofar, Sukkot has the sukkah and lulav, and Esrog and Hadassim and Aravot. Chanukah has the candles, Purim has the Megillah reading, Pesach has matzah and the whole Seder night. Only Shavuos has nothing, it's just a holiday. So on the one hand, there's not a lot to talk about when you speak about Shavuos. But on the other hand, there's a whole lot to talk about when you speak about Shavuos. To what am I referring? We received the Torah, says Moish, so we can talk about any one of the 613 things, and we could say we're talking about Shavuos. So there's a lot to talk about when you speak about Shavuos. We can spend the whole night speaking about how you're supposed to divorce your wife if you don't like her, and we'll say that's talking about Shavuos, because it's in the Torah. We can spend the whole night talking about shechting an animal, and the same thing would apply. So that's the story with Shavuos. On the one hand, there's no mitzvah associated with it, and on the other hand, all the mitzvot are associated with Shavuos. Yeah? There's no question that Shavuos symbolizes the faith of the Jewish people in God, and that we were able to accept something without looking at the details. We just said, God, if you said so, it must be fine. So Nasa and Ishma we accept. Later on, we'll hear the details. And there's no question that's one of the aspects of the holiday of Shavuos. But if you want to speak about Shavuos in a more specific fashion, obviously the most appropriate thing to do is to speak about the experience and the mitzvah of learning Torah. Because we got the Torah on Shavuos, and that's where it says it all, and therefore it's important to speak about this mitzvah. So let's begin to speak about it, if we may. As you all know, every single morning, like any other mitzvah, you make a bracha on the Torah. Because assumingly, even though this assumption has to be yet proven, every Jew is going to learn Torah every day. An assumption that yet needs to be proven, but that is the requirement, that you learn Torah every day. Now there's a minimum way of fulfilling this requirement. You say the Shema or other such passages and that's it. It could take you no more than a few minutes of the day. But obviously, that should not be the intention. The aspiration should be that we go ahead and learn as much Torah as possible throughout the day. What's interesting about this particular bracha is two things. Number one, this bracha that we say every morning, Asher Kiddushanu, Tzvotav V'Tzivanu, La'asok V'Divrei Torah, to be busy with the Torah, according to the simple reading of the Gemara on Tractate Brachot, is a biblical bracha. Now mind you, we do not have too many biblical brachas. As a matter of fact, we don't have any, with the exception of a mere few. And one of them might be this bracha that we say on learning Torah. The other one is going to be the grace after meals, the benching. But ultimately, all the brachas you say, the brachas that you say at the Seder, and the brachas that you say before you eat, and the brachas that you say before you shake lulav or you blow shofar, are all rabbinic requirements. This bracha, the bracha on the Torah that we say every morning, might be a biblical requirement. The Gemara says that we learned this out from a famous verse in the Torah. The verse goes like this. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Leloheinu. When I say the name of God, I'll bring sort of a glamorous something to his name. Gemara says, this is where we learn out the source to say a bracha before you learn Torah. Does anyone here understand the connection between the two? What does one have to do with the other? When I say the name of God, I'll bring glamour to his name. What does one have to do with the other? If it says, before I say the bracha, before I learn Torah, I'll say a bracha. Besides that, that's the source. That's like saying to everyone here, you're supposed to go home tonight and be nice to your wife. Why? Because it says in the Torah, God spoke to Moses. What? What does one have to do with the other? God spoke to Moses. What does that have to do with me talking to my wife? No? Anyone understand?
Talking what God told Moses.
To be more precise, Shem Hashem Ekra, the name of the God I will say, what is the name of God? According to this Gemara, the names of God is every word of the Torah. Every time you learn a mitzvah of the Torah, every time you learn a word of it, you're learning another aspect of godliness. And since no one in this room ever understood how this world really works, I mean, let's face it, there could be a man in this room as a biologist, but he won't understand how it works from a chemistry point of view, and so on and so forth. And no one here ever understood why good things happen to bad people. So the only one that understands all these anomalies would be God. So the more you learn about God, the more you understand this world, and the more you go home calm at night and say to your wife and kids, everything's okay, we're living in a good world. So the truth is, when you speak about this mitzvah of learning Torah, according to the Gemara, you're saying the names of God. Every time you learn the name of God, and therefore, ultimately, you bring glamorous to God's name first, by saying the bracha. So that's the source of this mitzvah, and it could be a biblical commandment. That's the first unique thing about this particular bracha, the bracha on the Torah. The second unique thing about this bracha is as follows. What happens on sukkahs if you get up in the morning, you come to shul, you didn't come to shul, you eat breakfast in the sukkah, you went to work, you had a whole day in which some of it was pleasant and most of it wasn't, then you came home and you ate dinner. Do you make another bracha on the sukkah? And you eat dinner in the sukkah? You were in the sukkah in the morning.
Yeah.
You ate breakfast.
Yeah.
You said goodbye to your wife and kids. You went to work.
Yeah.
You had sort of a pleasant day. You came home after a long day of work on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Your wife said, honey, how was your day? You answered her, like any other day, I don't want to talk about it.
Right?
Or like Ralph Bundy used to say. What did he used to say? He used to come home. Honey, how was your day? Well, it couldn't have been that good. I had to come home. Whatever it is, you come into the house, you're about to eat supper in your sukkah. Do you make another bracha?
Yes.
Of course you do. Why? You weren't there all day.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Why is it that on the bracha on the Torah, that's not the case? You make one bracha in the morning. You like that, Sam? One bracha in the morning, you shall learn Torah. Let's say you learn a little during davening. Fine. You go to work, you had a pleasant day, you come home, you say hello to your kids, you eat dinner. Now it's 8 o'clock in the evening, and you want to now open up the internet, you want to listen to a lecture by a certain rabbi in Halifax, shall remain nameless. Do you make another bracha? The answer is no. The bracha in the morning covers the whole day. Can anyone understand that?
Yeah.
Why is it by sukkah you make another bracha every time you do it? Here, no? I'll give you another example. Everyone puts on tefillin every morning, once a day, every day. Suppose at mincha you had a kriza, as we say in Hebrew. You had some sort of a nerve, you want to put on tefillin again. Can you? Yes. Do you make a bracha again?
Yes.
Of course you do. It's another mitzvah. Nothing to do with the morning. So the whole day you're distracted from learning, and you come home at night and you don't make another bracha on learning Torah. But when it comes to any other mitzvah, the Torah, you do make another bracha. Why is that? So many of the posts can explain as follows. Ultimately, you're never distracted from learning. A bona fide Jew is doing one of two things all day. That's all he's doing all day. Anyone asks you what you did today, all you got to say is two things. I'm either learning Torah, or I'm fulfilling the mitzvot, both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, of the Torah, in work, in school, or wherever I might be. That's the only two things you do all day. So you could be learning Torah in the morning, but when you go to work, it's not detached from it. You're actually fulfilling those lessons of the Torah in work. How? Give you a few tangible examples. Number one, any other caterer that's in a kitchen and his workers are messing up, the caterer curses them. That's the custom of the world. But a Jewish caterer doesn't do that. Why? Because he can't put his mouth with filth. So he says very nicely, pleasantly, listen, you shouldn't be doing that. It's not good for the business. Perhaps you can work faster. Perhaps you can work slower. Whatever it might be. The ethical, moral teachings of the Torah are being done at work. That's one example. Example number two. A person is in the office. Everybody in the office, for some reason or another, after a day of work, feel this urge to go to a specific place in town to calm down. Where do they go to calm down? You may say the gym, I wish. Where do they go? The bar. And what do they do at the bar? They don't just eat pretzels, but they drink alcoholic beverages. Well, a Jew is obligated not to ruin his health. Imagine what's going to happen to that person's liver if every single day he goes to the bar. So the Jew doesn't go to the bar, and therefore he's fulfilling the teachings of the Torah, even at work. So all a Jew does all day is he as follows. He makes a bracha in the morning on the Torah, not learning Torah. What's the bracha? To be busy with the Torah, which can mean one of two things, learning it or fulfilling it. And that's all he does all day. So every minute of the day, that's what you're doing. And the examples, by the way, gentlemen, are endless. Anytime, anywhere you look, there's an example that you can bring out that basically says, here, I'm fulfilling the Torah. It happens all the time. You're talking to someone, let's say you're at the airport, and they gave you a lousy seat. How you react in that situation will basically be the difference between fulfilling the mitzvah of the Torah or not. So basically, to sum up, you're either learning Torah in any which way, or you're fulfilling it by going to work and acting morally and ethically like a Jew should and like the Torah teaches you to do. And we gave tangible examples to this, and therefore a Jew's life is very simple. All he does all day is to fulfill the Torah or learn the Torah. That's it. We have a very simple life and we're very simple Jews. And therefore that bracha on the Torah is said once in the morning and that's it for the rest of the day. It's said once a day because assumingly you're going to go to sleep at night and therefore that will be a real distraction from one of these two things, either from learning Torah or fulfilling its mitzvot in whichever way it might play out. And therefore, at this time of the year, it's always customary for rabbis to address a question that will come up tomorrow night in many communities, and that is, what happens if you're up all night? If you're up all night, and you're learning Torah, assumingly, like you should do on the night of Shavuos, do you make a bracha in the morning on the Torah or not? There was no distraction. And that's a very, very famous question. We won't go into it now and the solutions that are suggested as well. But I just wanted to add one more thought on this issue. And that is the following. There's a very scary Gemara. You know, sometimes there's Gemaras that are good. Sometimes it's very scary. It says, why was the temple destroyed? Because they didn't make the bracha on the Torah.
Right.
Now, of all the terrible sins, I don't know if that would qualify as a sinner, if you know what I mean. Something to think about maybe over Shavuos. Why would that be such a terrible sin? Imagine the Gemara says that the big sin that God destroyed the temple was because they didn't make a bracha on the Torah in the morning. So assumingly they learned Torah, and ultimately they didn't make the bracha beforehand. Now let me ask you a question. If you shake the lulav without making the bracha, did you fulfill the mitzvah?
No.
Of course you did. Of course you did. The bracha is a sefer, an enactment of the sages that a mitzvah should be preceded with a bracha. But it doesn't affect the mitzvah. So let's face it, of all the sins the Jews do today in any community around the world, imagine if we said this community has to be condemned and destroyed. Why? They daven, they learn Torah, they keep Shabbos, but they don't make a bracha before they learn Torah. What would you say?
Nonsense.
Two words. Big deal. What's the story over here? What does the Gemara mean? It's an open Gemara, trusting the Torah. Says it. Many people have grappled with it, and I just wanted to present the question, the answer of the Beit HaLevi. The Beit HaLevi, his name was Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. He's the great-grandfather of the Rav Soloveitchik that I quote a lot. So what did he say? He mentioned as follows, and I'll just give it to you with the following true story that happened in Lakewood, New Jersey. In Lakewood, New Jersey, there's a very, very large, big yeshiva. Many people learn there for many years. Many of them don't have a lot of money to their name because they're getting a stipend and they have large families. But they learn for many years, and they're great, great Talmudic scholars, I'm sure, that are walking around Lakewood Yeshiva. I'm assuming if they're there so many years, that they're good Talmudic scholars, right? We've heard of this around the world, yeshivas. So one of these Talmudic scholars is in the car one day, and he ran through a red light. So a cop stopped him. And he sees he's a religious man. He says, do you learn in the yeshiva over here? He says, yeah. How many years have you been learning in the yeshiva? He says, I've been learning here now for 11 years. The cop says, wow, 11 years? You must be the stupidest kid in the place. 11 years and you haven't graduated yet? Now, obviously, every rabbi around the world got the same question in some way or another. Many times people say, what do? How do you divide up your day? Well, I'd like to have some time where I could continue learning Torah every day, a little time to devote to scholarship. They said, but I thought you already got ordination. Finished. Once you get ordination, from their perspective, you don't have to learn again. That's what the Beit HaLevi says the Gemara is speaking about. You have a Jew that knows how to keep Shabbos already, knows how to keep the holidays, knows how to keep kosher, knows basically how to live a Jewish lifestyle, right? Should he continue learning? Of course he does. There's a mitzvah to learn every single day, and therefore there's a bracha associated with it. So that generation didn't make a bracha, assumingly they basically said, what's the Torah for? The Torah is there for me. If I have to keep Shabbos, I have this problem, I'll look, see how to do it, and that's it. If I have no problems, I don't have to learn. And that's exactly what their sin was. They were connected to Judaism in practice, but intellectually, that generation of the first temple were not connected to Judaism. Intellectually, their mind was into philosophy, I'm sure, and into all the rest of the arts and of the disciplines that are out there today, but they were missing Torah scholarship. And just imagine if the Jewish nation around the world would be doctors and lawyers and physicists and chemists and everything else, but your knowledge of Judaism, I'm talking about the level of their intellectual connection to Judaism, assuming they keep Shabbos and all, would be on a level of a Hebrew school kid. Great professor, 50 years old, you ask this professor to explain a simple verse in the Torah, it will explain it to you like a 10-year-old. And that's exactly what the Gemara is condemning, and that's exactly what we have to be careful of on the eve of receiving the Torah anew of Shavuos. We have to be not only emotionally connected to Judaism, and not just be Jews in practice in terms of fulfilling the commandments. We have to also make sure that our minds are connected to Judaism. So God forbid you don't have a Jew that's on a level of a 10-year-old when it comes to the intellectual capacity of the Torah. That's probably the interpretation of that Gemara, which I hope and pray will not be associated with the Jewish nation ever, ever again. So with that note, I wish everyone a very, very true Chag Sameach. May we be privileged to receive the Torah anew again on this holiday of Shavuos, and obviously be intellectually connected to its teachings throughout the year.